for the mature. We're going to look at, and I'm having a little fun with the toddler, with the, you know, sporting the big old sirloin there in his little color-coded plate system. But I'm going to read scripture out of Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 right up here. Because it's based on this. So it says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, coming off the fast, they say you're supposed to be careful. And some did fast pretty aggressively. And some were able to, some didn't. But the ones who were able to, it's smart to reintroduce solid foods, reintroduce food to your system if you've been off of food for an extended time. Jesus had a 40-day fast. Jesus, we read about, he got water baptized, and then he was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And it says he didn't eat anything for 40 days. And you recall the first word of his public ministry that he reintroduced when he came into his public ministry, the first idea he reintroduced into everyone's system. Do you remember? Repent. The first concept that he preached on as a in his public ministry, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And so he said that in Matthew and Mark's accounts. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to say in chapter 6, I'm going to read it, he lays out a list of solid food, spiritual solid food. It says, therefore, 6:1, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, these are some meaty truths that we're going to be sinking our teeth into in the weeks ahead. And we're going to be starting with repentance. Solid food for the mature, starting with repentance right there. So I just want to pray. Father, we just commit this time to you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace for today, and that you are a good, good God. Lord, just speak to us. I just pray that we would hear from you. And thank you that your word is alive and well and is relevant right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start to get you guys thinking by asking a few true or false questions, just to get your, you know, get your cranium going and, you know, things moving. So the first question, true or false, and I'm going to ask three questions, and then we'll answer all three of them at once. So the modern Caesar salad is derived from a recipe dating back to ancient Rome. Okay. True or false? Sugar makes children hyper. True or false? Eating carrots helps you see in the dark. They are all false. They're all false. So, The Caesar salad was invented in Tijuana, Mexico in the 1920s by a guy named Caesar. Caesar Cardini. And the whole hyper kids sugar thing is a myth. It's not true at all. And then carrots are good for your... Sorry, moms. You're using that against your kids for years. And then the whole carrots are good for your eyesight, but not for seeing in the dark. So, just, okay. I don't make this stuff up. It's on the internet, so it must be true. 100% true. Ask Abe Lincoln. All those, yeah. So, another true and false question. Number one, salvation is by grace through faith alone, and repentance is optional. Correct. False. It's false. You can't genuinely turn to Christ without turning from sin. Okay, it's two sides of the same coin. So coming to Christ is called a conversion. Conversion means turning. Salvation is a spiritual turning from sin to Christ. And turning from sin is called repentance. Turning to Christ is called faith. Putting your faith in Christ. And it doesn't matter which came first. It doesn't matter if you felt bad about sins or you turned from sin and then you put your faith in Christ, or you put your faith in Christ and by that turned from sin. It doesn't matter which comes first. The idea is that they come together. Paul wrote to the elders in Acts 20:21. It says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And then Isaiah, another passage, 55, says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the word repentance for both repenting into the kingdom of God for the first time, but also repenting on a daily basis after you've come into the kingdom of Christ. After you're already there, we still walk out repentance. A lot of these verses are interchangeable for repentance to get saved or repentance to walk out your life in Christ. Both are important. They both apply. Because there's ongoing things. It's not just, oh, I repented once, now I'm in the kingdom, now I can do whatever I want. Right? That's ridiculous. Yeah. We still are going to be tempted by things. We still need to repent of things. We still need to turn from things. Not to get saved again, because Jesus was crucified once and for all. You put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. That's a promise of God. That's one of the yes and amen promises of God. But we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So we turn from sin. We walk away from what the Bible says is sin. Not what the culture says is sin, but what the Bible, what God says. So repentance isn't optional. It goes with faith. Repentance and faith. Believe. Believe in God, repent of sin. They go together like peanut butter and jelly, like donuts and coffee, like cake and ice cream, like pancakes and syrup and okay, moving on. Okay, focus. Okay, three more true and false questions, okay? Three more. One, the electric chair was invented by a dentist. The average lifespan of a Major League Baseball is 7 pitches. There are more stars in space than grains of sand on every beach in the world. That's a dead giveaway. It's all true. All three are true. The electric chair was invented by a dentist. You can look it up. That wasn't all he was. He wasn't only a dentist, but that was part of his living. The average lifespan of Major League Baseball is 7 pitches. Isn't that amazing? They just foul balls and whatever, they get thrown away. And there are more stars in space than grains of sand on every beach in the world. We know that because God said, look at the stars. I'm going to make your descendants more than the grains of sand. So here's another true-false question. Number two, true repentance just involves feeling sorry for sin. False. True or false? False. That's false. Feeling sorry for our sin is a good beginning. It's a nice start, because if there's no sorrow for sin, if you don't feel bad for things that put Jesus on the cross, well, then something's wrong. You don't realize what the cost was to Christ, because it was only our sin that got him crucified. It was only what we did that he decided and he made the way to be sacrificed for us. But 1 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. I just want to say, the devil always wants to get you to a place where you feel bad. Yeah. That's his just, he wakes up in the morning, how can I make people feel bad? That's his goal. That's his objective. And not just how can I make them feel bad, how can I destroy them? How can I make them feel horrible? And so when we do things that are that the Bible calls a sin, and sin has consequences, and sin just, you know, when someone, you know, is driving too fast on a mountain road and they go through a, you know, they're going too fast, they go through the guardrail and over the cliff and to their demise, God didn't just say, all right, I'm going to have to come up with something and punish that person for driving too fast. I think I'll invent gravity and I'm going to make them suffer the consequences. It's like, no, the laws are there all along. God didn't have to do anything. It was like gravity was there, the rules are there, the ideas are there. It's the consequences come. And so when we sin, God doesn't have to punish us. The punishment is already built into the system. You steal from someone, someone's going to, I mean, just bad things happen. And you do certain things, bad things will happen. Not because God is against you, but because God designed things to happen like that way, that to steer you towards righteousness. That's what spankings are. The whole, you know, put two and two together for a little kid. No, I did this thing. My butt hurts now because I did this thing. Look, I'll do this thing again. Oh, my butt hurts again. And they start to put two and two together and realize, you know what? I don't like a hurt butt. I'm going to stop doing this thing. And it works really well, right? Kids, can you say amen, right? It's like, you know, it works. And, you know, it's designed to steer you away from it. Of course, the devil wants to make you feel bad and keep you stuck there. Keeps you stuck there. I feel guilty. I feel terrible. I feel regret. He wants to keep you in that place, that terrible feeling, but godly sorrow starts there. Godly sorrow starts there, but then brings you through to the other side, which is salvation. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Godly sorrow says, I feel terrible for what I just did. I don't want to do that again. And thank you, God, that you paid the price so that I can be forgiven. There's hope. With it comes hope. With it comes a positive thought towards the future. So sorrow, feeling bad for your sin, is a good place to start. But then it's to bring us to repentance so that we can receive God's amazing salvation. Yeah. On the other side, amen? Amen. So with God, because I hear that a lot. Oh, church just makes you feel miserable. I don't go to church. It's a bunch of hypocrites, and they judge me, and they condemn me. Well, are you living in sin? Yeah. Well, no one's condemning you. It's like your own actions are condemning you. But we're all just a bunch of sinners that are forgiven and know we're forgiven. And so church is a place where, yeah, you might feel like, oh, I'm being judged. It's like, no, we're not judging you. Your lifestyle is judging you. And when you come into a church, of course that'll feel that way, but not to stay there. The point is to know that there's a better way, and there's forgiveness, and there's life, and there's hope, and there's the grace of God to repent and bring that person beyond the I feel guilty and feel terrible place to I feel awesome, and I feel free, and I feel delivered, and I feel alive again. That's what I discovered about church. I hated church growing up, but I didn't understand it. So the grace and mercy of God always flows in response to our turning to God. And that's no matter what the consequences. You can have done some things that are pretty bad, pretty consequential. But it doesn't matter, no matter what it is, no matter what the mistake, no matter what the decision, no matter what the choice made, there's always salvation, yeah. Always hope, yeah. Always restoration in mind. God is able to, if he can keep this world running, in the universe running, he can figure out a way to bring you through to the other side. Amen. Of whatever that is. Amen. So true repentance goes way beyond emotions. It's a decision to take action, and it moves us out of that darkness without God and brings us into His marvelous light with God. So here's a true and false. Number three, biblical repentance just means turning from bad acts. False. There's more to it. A good act could be a bad act if it was mistakenly viewed as something that would make us right with God apart from Christ. And that's a mouthful to explain. We understand, we should turn away from drug abuse and alcohol abuse and lying and stealing and sexual immorality in whatever form, heterosexual or homosexual. I mean, the things the Bible lays out, there's a lot of lists, a lot of things. It's clear to understand. No one has to look very hard to find out what we can all agree is sin and bad acts to turn from. But the passage in Hebrews talks about repentance from dead works. What is dead works? What do you think a dead work would be? A dead work, the margin of my Bible also uses the phrase or the term useless rituals. Useless rituals. Well, what does that mean? Well, a ritual is something that we can think is a good thing, a godly thing, a righteous thing, but we're putting this false hope on it that will somehow, if we do this righteous thing, if I go to church enough, if I read the Bible enough, if I tithe 10% of my income every time I get paid, if I help people, if I'm a good person, then I am right before God. That's false. That's where it's false to think that we can just do good things, or that biblical repentance just means to turn from bad acts. It also means to turn from good acts if they're done with a false premise that's not biblical. Should we go to church? Yes. It's my favorite place to be on a Sunday morning. And if you're looking for a good church, just let me know. I got a recommendation I could give. I have my personal favorites. I'll let you know. But should you read the Bible? Absolutely. It's a good thing. Should you help others? You bet. Do those get you saved? Not at all. Can you do enough going to church? Can you do enough Bible reading to get right with God? No. Otherwise, why did Jesus come? Why was He crucified? Why is He called the Lamb of God? Why was He sacrificed? If we could read enough of the Bible to get right with God, then we don't need Jesus. And that's why it says repentance from dead works. And isn't it nice? I just want to set you free a little bit here. Isn't it nice that your righteousness isn't based on how good a person you are? Amen. It's just like a weight. It's like, because I know what I'm made of, and I suspect you're made of the same kind of stuff that I'm made of. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all have thoughts or intentions or words that come out that we wish we could grab them and put them back in and didn't mean to say it like that. Isn't it nice to know that your standing before God isn't based on your achievements? Yeah. But what's it based on? The achievements of Christ. Yeah. He's the perfect one, the cross. And so I know we understand that when we come into the kingdom, it's like, man, that set me free. That changed my world. That I am not a good person. And God still loves me in that. And He forgave me. And He forgives me of that. And we feel great about coming into the kingdom, but it's so important to stay walking in the kingdom, because we get going for a while and we start, you know, our lives do start to clean up. We do start, you know, things drop off, and it's not so obvious that, you know, we're sinners. But we know we still are. And so we need to stand against the devil, who wants to tell us, you know what, you blew it. You disqualified yourself. You are no longer right with God. because of what you did. But that's where repentance comes into play after you're saved, after you're born again. You can still say, God, forgive me. I confess it as sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Right? So that's another key concept. It's like, if you come into a church, feel like, man, I'm the only scumbag here. It's a bunch of nice people. I mean, that's what I thought when I walked into a church. It's like, wow, these people are all so perfect. And I'm just learning all this. And the reality is, we all fit in that category of sinners. Yeah. And some are just more, it's more, maybe more visible than others or more struggles than others, but it's the same stuff that we're made of. So repentance is important coming into the kingdom, but it's also important to walk in the kingdom. Yeah. And to have grace for others. So the key is, the main theme of the book of Hebrews, where this list of the meaty truths that I read in Hebrews 6, the main theme of the book of Hebrews is all the context is the high priest, Jesus, our high priest, the one who is not only high priest, but he is the Lamb who overcame, who was sacrificed. And that he overcame sin and death. And we do too by putting our trust in him and what he overcame. Yeah. In what he achieved, what he finished. He's the one who said, it is finished. And so our repentance shows that our faith is alive. That we are serious about our faith. By walking in repentance, that's why it's two sides of one coin. Walking in repentance shows that our faith in Christ is genuine, is real. Because the problem with sin, and I just got a little bit of a list here of sin, the consequences of sin. When Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, the consequences, sin separates us from God. God is now far away from us when we are lost in sin. Sin brings death and condemnation. Sin keeps us far from God. Sin even hinders prayers. God says, I won't listen to your prayers because you're in rebellion. And he's talking to the Jews at the time. But sin makes us enemies with God. And sin brings eternal destruction. Not just temporary problems, but eternal destruction. And that's why it's so important that God calls us to repent. Couple verses, Acts 17 and 30. 17:30 says, God commands all people everywhere to repent. And then Jesus spoke to the people. He said, Luke 13:3, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Why is God such a stickler regarding repentance? Why this whole sin and repentance thing? Because when we repent of sin, because sin is the divider between us and God, the separator between us and God. Repentance opens the floodgate to everything good that God can now do, Amen. That he's been wanting to do, that he has made us to be able to do. It's like playing a country western song backwards. You get, when you repent, you get connected to God, no more separated from God. You're no longer far away, you're brought near. You're no longer enemies with God. You're made friends, and not only friends, but family, children of God. There's no longer an expectation of eternal perishing, but everlasting life. Repentance opens the door for everlasting life. You know, when we all know what it's like to be going along your day, and you get a text, or you get on these family threads on your cell phone, and people, it happens all the time where I'll be going about my day and some family members of mine will add to a thread of something, and it's just hysterical. It's hysterical. I mean, I love, and I can't show these things, but anyway, you all know what it's like. You get a text, you get a meme, you get something from a friend, from a family member, And you could be in a different state. You could be in a different part of the nation. You could be in a different country. Or you can be across town. And it's just, it makes you joyful. It makes you laugh. It brightens your day. And it's just sending a message. Well, that's, Jesus said, there is more rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. So there's more heavenly high fives. So imagine what you're doing because of your life right here. When you repent of something or other, when you're tempted to do something and you turn away from it, not in the next county, not in the next state, not in the next country, not in the next continent, but in heaven. It says there is more rejoicing over that you, the one person who turned from sin, than over 99 righteous people that didn't need to repent. That's what repentance, that's the power of repentance. It opens the door for the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom of God, to celebrate. I just imagine they're dancing and singing and cheering and shouting and high-fiving and backflipping and doing things. I think it's easy enough to imagine over one sinner who comes, because now all the things that God is, his character, his love, his favor, his grace, his mercy, all these things, his blessings can now flow into this person's life.
Yeah.
That couldn't. I mean, God was handcuffed before because sin separates, sin condemns, sin cuts off. But now repentance opens the floodgate. Amen?
Amen?
And it's good news. Remember the Minneapolis miracle moment? Okay. Remember when the Twins won the World Series? I remember when... I'm old enough to remember. I remember when the Cubs won the World Series. But that moment, we were downstairs at Minneapolis Miracle thing, the place erupted. And I just imagine that is nothing compared to what erupts in heaven when one person turns from sin. Because you're talking, when one person, when you as one person turns from sin, that starts a chain of events that has the potential to impact multiple generations.
Yeah.
Multiple generations of people will be impacted when we repent and don't give in to the temptation or whatever the sin was that the enemy was dangling before us. So I just want to encourage us to walk in that kind of liberty, and we have grace to repent. There are no perfect churches, just churches with sinners who have repented. So let's stand up and close in prayer. Tony, you got something? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. His love can flow. His grace can flow. And maybe there's something, maybe you need some advice, some counsel. Maybe there's something in your heart that you know you need to repent of. This would be a great time right now to just privately before God offer it up to him and say, you know, God, I just turn from this thing right now. And ask him to forgive you. Ask him to take it away. Ask him to help you overcome. And he will. He will right now. He has so much to pour out into your life. But sin is like the bottle cork that just doesn't allow it to flow. And he wants to freely bless because he loves you. He doesn't want any hindrances. So Lord, thank you for your great mercy. Thank you, Lord, that this is the first on the list of the solid truths that you lay out for us to understand. It all comes in. We come into your kingdom humbly. We come in humbly. We don't come in making demands. We come in humbly and repentant with both emotions going on, but also our intellect going on. So, Lord, I just thank you for your grace. Help us to turn from whatever the Bible calls as evil, but also even things that we may have been holding on to make us feel righteous or make us feel good about ourselves, Lord. That it's only the blood of Jesus, only the shed blood of the perfect Savior that qualifies us for standing before you rightly. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that made the way and that we can walk in that freedom of what you finished. You said, it is finished. There is no other sacrifice that needs to be made. We just need to take it by faith. So we just receive it now and just pray that if there's anyone here struggling with what that means or how to apply that, God, I just pray that they would find someone. Find someone maybe you came to church with, maybe myself. We want you to know that you're right with God and not let another day go by without being certain and having that assurance that you're loved by God and forgiven of sin. Lord, help us to dig into the solid meat in the weeks ahead. Thank you for this new year. Thank you for the fast and all the responses that you're going to have as we participated corporately in big and small ways. Lord, we thank you for the plans that you have for 2020. That we ask that you would be glorified in it. Bless our relationships with you. Bless our relationships with one another. Help us to make a greater impact in our community for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Shake someone's hand.